I can tell you two things that caught my attention as Doug Peterson spoke at owners' meetings. What are those things? Stay tuned here on Locked On Jaguars, and I'll let you know.
You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, good people, to another edition of the Locked On Jaguars podcast. I am your host, Tony Wiggins, the host of the daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, where it's your team every day. And we thank you for making us your first listen. A quick reminder, too, you can subscribe for free on our YouTube page. That's Locked On Jaguars. And wherever you get your podcast, make sure you check every day so you don't miss on the audio side of the house. Doug Peterson at the owners' meetings. We spoke. I may have a conversation later on with beat writer Demetrius Harvey of Jacksonville.com and the Florida Times Union and try to catch up with him and get a better feeling of some of the things that Doug said. But that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the fact that Doug Peterson coached and spoke. Coach Peterson spoke and reinforced some of the things that we already had pretty much known. But reinforcing those things really tells us that this is what they attempt to do. They're going to build through the draft, and they're going to depend on player development and the players that they build to get better, and they're going to retain their guys. That's a pretty good practice. It's the way, ideally, I've always thought that teams needed to be built. Just wasn't used to it. And I'm wondering if they have adopted this strategy just a little early, but I'm not going to fuss with it because it's really what they believe in. I'll tell you why in segment two that I think this is all about self-belief. And what I mean is no more hedging your bets, no more trying to just get guys until you find somebody who can replace them. Now, these guys in the front office seem to be saying, we know exactly what we're going to do, how we want to do it, why we want to do it, and that's what we're going to do. I love that part of this, man. And the accountability side would really, really, really come into play, and I'll tell you why in segment two. Segment three, I'm going to tell you who some of the players are that fit some of the things that Doug Peterson talked about. But to not bury the lead, we're going to I'll do that in segment three, but to not bury the lead, we're going to go ahead and start discussing some of Coach Peterson's comments. And pardon my eyes, if you're watching on YouTube, pardon my eyes as I look down to actually read verbatim. There's no need to paraphrase when you can look right down and see what somebody said. So the article that I'm taking this from is one by Demetrius Harvey, who's a friend of the show. And I'll just read you verbatim some of these excerpts as to what Doug Peterson mentioned at the owners' meetings. He says, definitely a much different plan than a year ago. Looking back to last year, there were some things we had to clean up, we had to fix, we had to add some guys, some impact players, which we did. This year was about trying to get our guys back. So we already knew that part of it. We knew that what Doug Peterson wanted to do was to coach this group again. And for the most part, that's exactly what they've done. Last year, they had combined deals that cost $175.3 in guaranteed money. It's a lot of Skrilla, a lot of scratch. And this year, with low income, relatively speaking, as well as depth guys with D'Ernest Johnson, who's going to compete for the backup running back position, and defensive lineman Michael Dogby, who got a $25,000 signing bonus. I saw that today as it was broken down, and or $25,000 in guarantee money. And then Henry Mondo gives them another big body along the defensive line that could be a depth guy for when they start getting tired or when someone gets hurt. They've retained C.J. Beathard, of course, Jamichael Hasty, Trey Herndon. They have the franchise tag on Evan Engram, and they brought back safety Andrew Wingard, as well as defensive lineman Adam Goster. So a bunch of depth guys, and I know we're going to talk, you know, everybody wants to bring up, well, they got Calvin Ridley, so that makes up for free agency. I love the Calvin Ridley move, and I think adding Calvin Ridley does make this a better football team day one than the last day that they walked off the field. However, it's still a matter of winning games. The internet keeps switching out, going in and out. So hopefully you guys didn't get any breaks in some of the things that I was just saying. He mentioned the pass rush. When Doug Peterson was asked what has to get better, it's the pass rush. Flat out. He says, especially on third down, they got to get people off the field. They really, really do. It sounds like they know they need edge rushing. And combined with the fact that he said it's all on the draft picks. He said it's all on the draft picks. The guys that were picked here the last couple of years, it's all on them to improve. That's what happens. That's what's going to have to happen when you've already said, basically, you ain't signing a whole bunch of free agents. Not these big guys. The guys that are going to have to get the job done are the people we drafted to do it. The people that we have spent the most time with. Which is, once again, the way it is supposed to go down. Can you rely on the guys that you have in those positions already? And how does it affect who and what you decide to draft in this year's draft? All of those questions are things that have people perplexed about how the Jaguars going to move, where they're going to go, where they're going to get their draft picks from. Or where they're going to fill these guys out. At what point during the draft are they going to target edge rushers? We keep talking about best player available, but if you know where you need the most help, you better hope that the help aligns itself with where you're picking also. And if it doesn't, what do they do? A lot of people made a lot about seeing D'Shea Townsend, the Jaguars defensive back coach, work out with Brian Branch in Alabama at his pro day. This is not the time, man, to be going all in on stuff like that, but I guess it's also good that, you know, there's something to create some content or to get people talking. I wouldn't go in on all of that as if this is who they're going to pick. I recall last year, Mike Tomlin had a big ice cream smile on his face like a kid who just got an ice cream pop in 100-degree weather when he was at Malik's workout, the kid that ended up going and getting drafted by the Titans in the third round. And everyone and their brother thought Tomlin looked like he was like in love with this kid, right? No talk of them talking about or drafting Kenny Pickett other than the fact that people thought, well, since he played there in college and he's right there in their face, they got an easy evaluation. Nobody had them taking Kenny Pickett, and then they took Kenny Pickett. So just while it's nice to glean any thought or hope or any sort of content from the things that you see, year after year after year, it has told us that just because you see a team talking to somebody or they invite 30 people out, they may not draft anybody from that group. They just might not. Most of the work that has been done was done last year during those games when those area scouts were watching these guys and they were coming back and making their reports for Trent, the GM. That's just it. Most of the work believe it or not, was done on the field. And there ain't a whole bunch that's going to be done now to change people's minds. Folks are looking for stuff to validate their opinions in the way that they feel about players right now. We'll get into more of that in a little bit. And I told you one of the things that Doug Peterson said, I got to tell you the other thing. So we already said he needs the pass rush. I'll tell you in segment two. Why the fact that he says it's going to be all about the guys that are already picked and they're going to have to step up, why that is so critical and so important to the overall scheme of things. We'll do that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. I have to let you know about today's sponsors, which is FanDuel. Man, I don't know about y'all, but I was addicted to college basketball and hoops this weekend. I was glued to the TV, and I was also keeping my eye on the NBA because they're headed towards their playoffs. And right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Things are heating up, and you need to go to FanDuel, who I have been dealing with for years, and now that they're partners with us, I'm telling everybody that FanDuel is the number one sports book in the world. That's right. It's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets. If your first bet doesn't win, just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn, sign up today, and claim your no-sweat first bet. So don't miss out on your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. All right, man. Y'all make every moment more here with me on Locked On Jaguars every single day, and we appreciate you doing that. And we thank you for making us your first listen because it's your team every day. Speaking of your team, your coach that coaches your team spoke for a while today at the owners' meetings. And he said, son, it's incumbent upon the players that have already been picked to step it up. There ain't no magic veteran walking in that door other than Calvin Ridley, who they traded for, right? When you wonder how the Jags were going to improve on a 9-8 record and how they were going to have a chance to challenge some of the top teams consistently in the league to be able to try to make the playoffs this year, I just think the way things turned around for them last year at the end of the year, getting into the playoffs, I really think what it did was it gave them a shot of momentum that allows them not to skip a phase, but it's almost as if they had 2 years worth of growth in one season. 2 years worth of growth in one season. Those young guys that played last year, they weren't supposed to accomplish all of this. If you look at the rule book, the unofficial rule book, they're not supposed to accomplish the things that they accomplished last year. This year was the year that they were supposed to try to make that run like and play the way that they played at the end of last season, especially coming off of the mess with Urban Meyer and a year that really didn't count for a lot of those guys who were in their second year. It's almost like they were rookies all over again. Well, because they had the chance to play for Doug Peterson and get this tremendous amount of chemistry going down the stretch, it's almost as if the first 9 or 10 games was a year in its own. And then at some point, things started to click. And when they started to win games that they were losing and they were trailing and they were far behind, then it's like they grew up, right? To raise their level of play. I think it's like this. Look, man, we're picking lower in the draft every year. We're picking 24th now. We're not picking first. So the chance that you get a surefire player, it's not sure anymore. You know, the further you get away from the top, the harder it becomes to identify guys that can help you. Sometimes, though, it works in the other way where you get a little lucky and draft a guy that you want without worrying about the pressure of making sure you got the right guy long-term because of the whole draft prospects picking early and guys going to call somebody the number one overall pick like they're going to do with Trayvon. They're going to do that forever now. It's interesting to me, though, that Doug is saying that these young guys, like, it's almost like he's saying, why not us, why not now? And you've already done it before, so now you got to really, really make it consistent and keep on doing it. You're going to really, basically the leader of your team is a 23-year-old quarterback, right? So you're going to have guys that are going to be walking with Trevor that are going to be the team leaders of this team. You'd expect Devin Lloyd and Trayvon Walker to take another step and to be the leaders, because they're not going out buying the leader. They're not going to go out and buy, like, remember in 2016, they went out and bought Calais and he came in and he was a leader of the entire locker room immediately when he got to Jacksonville. That's not going to happen anymore because they're not going out getting guys. And trust me, Tom McManus said it best last week when he was with me. You can't lead if you can't play. If you're not on the field, the rah-rah stuff doesn't work. And we've heard that from a number of guys thousands of times. They listen to guys that are out there with them. You know, I don't know, you know, why that's that way, but it's the nature of the NFL, and it is what it is. So why is it important? Why is it important? Because I think what it tells, it does two things. It talks to the incumbent players here, but it also tells you what type of players that they're looking for in the draft. They're not just drafting guys to make plays. I think if it's going to be incumbent of the players, the young players to lead the team, a lot of times you get a first-round pick, he can come in, and you have to lead anything, right? He just has to listen and play his part and contribute and learn slowly. No, there's a chance right now when the Jaguars draft you that you can be a team leader on this team as long as you come in and play well. That being said, last year still guarantees nothing. They actually have to go out and do it. The one thing that's going to help this team tremendously, though, is everyone else is now believing that the Jaguars are good. Everyone else is believing, because mentally there's a lot that goes into it. You ain't going to sneak up on nobody, but that's a good thing. But they're also going to – you're a playoff team now. Teams are going to prepare for you a little bit different. So sometimes it's good to have a whole bunch of young guys that – the point that I'm trying to convey is sometimes it's good to have a whole bunch of young guys that's never scared, right? You're never scared. You know what's on you. You ain't worried about some veteran – holding the job down. No, if you want to come in here and play, you're gonna have a chance to come in here and play. So Doug Peterson's main two takes coming from the owners meeting is we need a pass rush. Ding, ding, ding. We may need to start changing a little bit of the way that we're lining up on these mock drafts, because that's going to really, really, really determine what they do. It starts to make other guys in play. If they don't take a pass rusher at 24, you think they're going to sit there and wait at 56 when all of the good pass rushers are gone? I don't think so. I think they're going to try to creep back up. Or this also tells me that there might be a chance for the Jaguars to move down in the draft a little bit. So they need a pass rush, and they're going to depend on their players that are already on the team that have to step up. This is going to be a long-term thing that the Jaguars are doing. Young guys, young players, they're not going out buying. You can't buy, like I said, you can't buy your leader. You can't buy your help. You have your leaders on the team right now. So they are really, really sticking to their guns, and it's making me, hearing him verbalize that really makes me like this plan a little bit more than I liked it in the past. Who are some of the players they could be talking about when you talk about pass rush, when you're talking about young guys that the Jaguars need, best player available, all of that stuff? I'm going to go through some of the usernames mentioned, and then I'm going to mention some guys now I have to that might be on the radar for the Jacksonville Jaguars that we haven't talked about very much, and I'll do it in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. Too many problems with it. I'll check it when I'm done to make sure. But if you see that, don't worry about it. It's something that I can't prevent. I think they're doing some more work here trying to get that together. But it's actually distracting the hell.
that.
Things coming out of Doug Peterson's mouth that I really, really do like. And it's like they're not hedging their bets. They're not just having guys here until you can find a better replacement. No, they are evaluating these people and these players, and they know exactly who can do what, and they know exactly what they want from them, and they're sure about them. And they're saying, no, when they don't buy free agents or they're not super, super active, they're saying, no, we have a job to do. We have a job to draft and sign the right guy initially. And then we have to develop and coach them up and get them right. We're going to sit here and keep building a brand new team. This is a dynasty league here. We're not going to build a brand new team every year or every 2 years and hedge our bets and try to win press conferences. I love it. I love it. And I've been critical, and you guys know that I've been super critical, because I didn't want them to start looking in this new world we live in while other people are doing more. I just thought they weren't doing enough. But now, this tells me that they like their own players probably better than I do. They like their own guys. Now, the flip side of this is you could be being a little bit too careful and a little bit too cautious. And that's the thing that I did a podcast, I think, last week on. Why are they moving like this? Are they being too cautious? Are they going overboard, right? It's like somebody wants to lose weight and they change their diet, but then they starve themselves. No, that's not the way to do it either. So I was worried that that's what they were doing. But hearing from him today, it just means that they really like their guys. They like being around them. And it's not about sunshine and rainbows and cooking marshmallows. They actually like them, like where they are. And here's the key. Watch this. This is something that we haven't touched. They feel with more coaching and development, those guys will be even better. They're not going to be the same players from last year. That with more coaching and development, they're going to be even better. And it seems like fit really, really matters to them too. So I want to go through some guys in the draft that are fits. And we'll go through the names. To everyone's credit, the names that I've been hearing, of course, I brought up Deontay Banks, and a lot of other folks have been bringing up Brian Branch. And we even talked about Mozzie Smith. There have been some Cam Smith mentions. The one thing I can tell you about all of those guys absolutely would be great fits with the Jacksonville Jaguars, not only with their talent, but with their attitude. With their attitude. These are the guys. And I guarantee you, they got a boatload of people on their list, and we ain't even mentioned them yet. I think one of the sleepers that might be on the Jaguars list in the top three rounds is Cedric Tillman, because it'll give them a big receiver who can be their fourth option. I think Cedric Tillman might be on there. And remember, they also talk about what the rooms look like and what the versatility in the room looks like. Cedric Tillman will give them something they absolutely don't have, and that's a 6'3" guy who can run routes, eat the entire route tree up, and is a red zone threat. So that's one name that, while he was mentioned in defense today, don't get it twisted. Doug is an offensive guy. He's going to get another weapon on this team. Just in case one of those dudes goes down, he'll have an automatic third receiver that brings a different little bit of a skill set. So I think they're going to address that. I do think they're going to look at the offensive line. He mentioned that. He mentioned that, hey, even though Walker Little's going to be competing at right tackle or whatever, if somebody's there, and I'm paraphrasing this part, but he kind of hinted like this might be some pretty good offensive linemen there too. You always look to try to protect number 16. So that doesn't surprise me that came out of his mouth. I'm just wondering, though, with that McDonald kid from Iowa State garnering so much attention and moving up draft boards, and then Nolan Smith obviously is moving up draft boards, and he might not be there. Where do they go to get pass rush? Could it be Keon White? Could it be a guy that needs a little bit of development but has – so much strength and so much speed and fits so many traits that it's hard to ignore? Or would they be afraid and go, that's just like redoing Trayvon Walker? And Trayvon needs to improve this year. I've been a big Trayvon fan. When the coach says the pass rush, and this team took a pass rusher with number one, the number one pick, I think this year they're going to expect pass rush. Nobody's going to be talking about traits anymore. Nobody's going to be talking about all of that stuff. It's going to be about the guys on the field, and Trayvon is one of those guys. So Keon White out of Georgia Tech, who's like 6'5", 285, and he hasn't played as much football as Walker had up to this point, but it might be a duplicate pick. But because of his versatility, because his body may grow, he may end up being a big end at some point in this 3-4 defense. And he may be a guy that when they move Trayvon inside can stand. Can you imagine both of those guys next to each other? But where do you pick him? I don't know if he's there at 56. He might go in the first round. Who knows? These are some tough decisions, man, that the Jaguars are going to have to make. I was all prepared before I heard that press conference. I was all prepared to come talk to y'all about guys like Za'Darius Smith, guys that could be added to this team. I don't think they go in that direction, especially if they draft someone in the first two rounds. I don't think they go with a veteran. I think they go with the young guys. I think the veterans they're going to have on this team are Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker. That's just me. Because Josh and Trayvon are going to play the most. Can you get a guy like Za'Darius, or people were talking about maybe a reunion with Yannick Ngakoue? Can you get a guy like that to come in here and accept the role that he's going to be behind those two guys? I don't know. I think those guys want to still play, because if you get them to accept the role, guess what that means? They're going to accept the money that comes with the role, and I think that's where the problem is going to be. So I think this might be they're using good judgment when they feel like they're going to have to help their rush through the draft. They still need that corner. Are you going to, it comes down to, are you going to get a guy that is a safety? Who plays given situation. So it's all about self-belief with the coaches, accountability with the coaches and players. It is incumbent that they do their jobs to get these guys up to snuff, that they are really, 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 they've identified pass rush as the number one thing that has to change with this team. So you can, they may double up on it. I'd say it's very, very important and critical to look at both nickel, receiver, offensive line, tight end, and pass rush all the way through the fourth round. It's going to be fun to try to do a mock today and try to position myself to where they're going to be able to get all of these things in fourth round. I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to trade down. So come to NFL draft. Make sure you check out Locked On NFL Scouting, because in this situation, this is the perfect situation. Where will the players fall? Where do they sit? Draft dudes will tell you. Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino break it down as good as anyone. If you make them your second listen on Locked On NFL Scouting, there's wherever you get your podcast, they're Monday through Friday. And I'm telling you, you will not get any more. You won't get better scouting and you won't get better information than you will with those two guys. Make them your second listen, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. All right, man. So we're going to do a mock tonight to try to position ourselves to see where the players are going to fall based on what we've heard Doug Peterson say, and now that a lot of teams have done their work in free agency. We'll discuss all of this more at length tomorrow. Make sure you take care of each other, like I always say, and we'll see you next time here on Locked On Jaguars.